Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to What Do You Say Anime. I'm your host, Peter. On today's episode, we celebrate the four-year anniversary of COVID, and we look forward to warmer weather and give our preview for the upcoming spring season. Normally, we only do new shows and not sequels, but because we have six season threes next season, we will be sprinkling in some sequels at the end. If you're looking for a specific show we are talking about in the description below, feel free to use the timestamps to jump around. Join me today and recently promoted first mate, we have Miles. Miles, how's it going?
And oh my god, it's
what are your thoughts on the upcoming season?
It's going great. You know, I'm like, not to tell on myself, but that second mate comment was like living rent free in my head. Yep. And then the next episode happened and I was like, no one knew is here.
I forgot. I said I was gonna bring it up and then I forgot.
But I'm glad I've been promoted. And I mean, as always, Pete, I'm excited to talk anime with you.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this season? We got an interesting lineup.
Mm-hmm. So as I take a drink right when you ask me a question, like the professional podcaster I am, you know, I think it's an interesting season. There's a lot of good sequels, right? So I think the floor for this season is like pretty solid, you know, because there are shows people are going to like because they know they like them already. As far as like the non-sequel shows, I'm interested to see how it goes. To me, there's nothing that I'm like dying to see, but there's a lot of things that I'm interested in.
Gotcha.
So I don't know about you. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it's like the polar opposite really of winter, because winter had a lot of like brand new properties coming into it that we were kind of like uncertain how it was going to be adapted. So like we had like Solo Leveling, where, you know, it's a huge manhwa, but how is it going to be added? And then we had like Trigger coming in with like Dungeon Meshi, but nothing that I would say like it's been like a rare season where like we didn't have like a major player. Like JJK finished the season before. We don't have like these big shonen properties that are entering the scene again with like sequels. That's what last season. This season's like, hey, do you like season three of whatever show you watched like 4 years ago? Because we got season three for you.
Yes. So
it's like very different. So I think it's going to be an interesting season. Some of the shows that I'm excited for in terms of sequels are switching studios. So I have to see how that pans out.
Okay.
So a little nervous on some of the shows that I'm looking forward to, but I think when it's all said and done, I think spring will be a little bit better than winter. But we'll see. I am intrigued to get back into some sequel grinds and talking about, you know, Konosuba, Laid Back Camp, or other people like Demon Slayer and Slime. Oh, I guess I watched Slime too, but like some other like big name properties with sequels. That's all I'm kind of looking forward to that talk, because this season, especially like in our Discord, where if you're interested in joining, links in the description below, you know, we have a lot of like talk around Sign of Affection, Seventh Time Loop, Apothecary Diaries. So it's not like we're not talking JJK, etc., etc. So I think this season we're gonna get back into some of the big time, or I'd say big time players, but larger players in the sphere that are getting these third seasons. So I think it'll be a good season. Shall we start with our first show, Miles?
Let's start. And by let's, I mean you.
Yeah, by me, yes. Okay, the first one up that we're talking about is Kaiju number 8. We're gonna read the synopsis and give our thoughts on it. Grotesque Godzilla-like monsters called Kaiju have been appearing around Japan for many years. To combat these beasts, an elite military unit known as the Defense Corps risks their lives to protect the civilians. Once a creature is killed, sweepers working under the professional Kaiju Cleaner Corporation are left to dispose of the remains. Kafka, a 32-year-old man unsatisfied with his job sweeper, from a young age has aspired to join the Defense Corps and kill the Kaijus for a living. After a few failed attempts, however, he gave up on his dreams and resigned himself to the mediocrity that provided a decent paycheck. Nevertheless, when an ambitious 18-year-old recruit named Lino joins the cleaning team, Kafka is once again reminded of his desire to join the military. This is a show that I've read like 25-ish chapters for.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of like a big deal coming out on... This is during like... I think the manga came out during COVID, so this is more when I was reading the newest, you know, Shonen Jump property that came out. Kaiju number 8 was getting a lot of hype because, well, at least for me, what stood out was that the main character was 32 in a shonen property. I was like, oh, that's neat. I'm not the biggest kaiju guy. It's kind of like mechs for me, where like I don't hate it, but I don't actively search out that type of stuff. And I got really into it. It's okay. It was fine. Okay. That was pretty much like my whole like feeling around it. With the anime, however, when they announced like the when they showed like the trailer for the first time like a year ago, the character designs look terrible. They look really, really bad compared to the manga, which the manga's art is pretty solid, I would say, but like nothing like breathtaking. I don't know what they did with the character designs, but it does not look good. A couple other things with Kaiju number 8 is airing on Twitter. You could watch the season on Twitter, which is a first for many reasons. It's also airing on like Crunchyroll, but I thought that was interesting. And they're also having two Western bands do the OP and the ED. Youngblood, I believe he is a British rocker, is doing the OP. And then what's that band called? One Republic. That's what they're called. One Republic is doing the ED. So it's like very strange. So Miles, do you have any thoughts on Kaiju number 8 based off like the PV art and the synopsis and some of the other things?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read any of the manga. The character designs look quite fine to me. They don't look like outstanding or anything, but I'm not super worried about that. Mm-hmm. What I think is neat about this is that like this is, I think, legitimately like the first kaiju property that I've watched or seen that cares about like disposal of kaiju, and like that's sort of neat.
Yeah, for sure.
So that makes me think that the world building might be pretty good. Or it won't be. I don't know. But I definitely like the fact that they've gotten like really big artists to do things like this, like their OP and their ED and everything, makes me intrigued to give it a try, just because, you know, like maybe that's just all window dressing, you know, to sort of entice people to watch something that's not great. But like maybe it's because they're very confident in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But it seems interesting enough. And I know people do like the manga that I'm definitely interested to give it a try, and like relatively hopeful that it'll be at the very least entertaining.
Yeah, in terms of the manga, at least from like my sphere, I think a lot of people like it. Like this is nobody's like favorite ongoing manga like at all. I also forgot to mention, like, this isn't a spoiler, it's in the synopsis, where like he also becomes like a kaiju, where he can like sort of has like this alternative whatever, so he can fight kaijus essentially. I don't know if that changes anything. I don't know if I wanted like a Starship Troopers type of thing where they're all like ground units, like shooting kaijus, because there's a lot of characters that just like use guns in this. I don't know. I'm not like super high on this show like at all. I know this is like, in terms of male popularity, I think it's the highest non like bookmarked non-sequel for next season, which I don't know if that says anything, but for me, I'm like, I'm pretty lukewarm. I'm intrigued to see, because it's Production IG, they're a pretty solid studio.
Well, and they'll be good for like kaiju things, right? Like, and guys transforming into those kaiju things.
I hope the transformations are good. Yeah, that would be a huge part. But I mean, they did like Heavenly Delusion. Right? No.
Okay.
No, that was Wit and then MAPPA. They probably had some like cross thing, but
okay.
That was Wit seasons like 1 through 3, and then MAPPA elsewhere. But I mean, like, they did Heavenly Delusion last year. They did Psycho Pass.
Oh, okay. They do good stuff then. I mean, those are both very well animated shows. Yeah.
So like, I think it'll be like animated well. I just think the art style, especially if you've read the manga, is going to turn people off. So I'm intrigued to see the reception of the first episode, especially on Twitter. I don't know how like the Twitter comments are going to be when the episode drops, because I don't know how the player is going to be, but I do think that's like an interesting like marketing strategy to put it out on Twitter for your first episode. Who knows? Maybe it'll be cool and do that going forward, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out. For me, I expect it's going to be Kaiju number 7 or something. Ah, but nice. Like, you know, but yeah, but we'll see. I don't know. I genuinely, one of the things that I'm more excited about to watch next season, as far as like original shows go,
this is an original, by the way.
Debuting.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Sure. We always do like a rating scale from like skipping it to this is a must watch. To me, this is like, I think for episode 1, if you're an anime fan, might be close to a must watch just because of like the Twitter stuff, and I'll be interested to see how that interaction goes. But I'm more on like the lukewarm side. If you're a fan, I feel like if you liked man, I don't know, maybe something like Gridman or something like that, where that dealt with like kaijus and like some like human drama within like the sphere. I don't know. I really don't know what I can compare kaiju to. Maybe Godzilla, I guess, stuff.
I guess. Well, I mean, yeah. But like, I mean, it says Godzilla. Like, I guess, like, just reading the synopsis, Attack on Titan would be my first comparison, right? You have the guy who becomes part kaiju, who's like the main character. You have like tall, giant monsters attacking the civilization. Mm-hmm. And like, he's part of like an elite crew that attacks them and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like,
and I don't think he's Hitler either. So that's like huge.
Yeah. Surprise. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Aaron had a few seasons where he wasn't Hitler.
True.
But you know, that's like my like early like season one, season two, Attack on Titan is the vibe I'm getting from like a plot standpoint. Like, obviously the setting and everything are like completely different, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, like a sure. general like skeleton outline sort of thing. That's sort of the vibe I got.
Yeah, it's a lot less dark. The themes, I would say, are less darker than Attack on Titan, at least based off what I read. It did seem, yes, there was some like serious stuff dealing with like his age and kind of being, I wouldn't say like he's a loser, but like maybe he's like stuck in a rut where he's like,
he's at a dead end job. Yeah. He wants something new with this. He's having that midlife crisis.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And you know, some people buy Corvettes and he becomes a kaiju. It's just, you know, that's just what you do in Japan sometimes. But yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle. I think this will be fine by when it's all said and done. I think your kaiju number 7 joke will probably be used in our review, but
okay, great.
Yeah. I'm gonna steal that and say I made it up because I don't know if you'll be on that episode, but yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Okay. So next up we have Spice and Wolf, Merchant Meets the Wise Wolf. I'm gonna read the entire synopsis from Mal here. It might take a while. New anime project for Okame to Koshinro. But wait, there's some background. No background information has been added to this title. Help improve our database by adding background information here. Okay.
Great so synopsis.
This is like a redo of Spice and Wolf. So if you're not familiar with Spice and Wolf, right, you're going to be following a merchant, a traveling merchant, and a local wolf goddess who goes with him, and they do capitalism together.
Yes.
It's a much beloved show, and it's by Studio Passione, which I think is going to be pretty good for this. I think that the original was like kind of muted, and I'm excited to see someone a bit more colorful take onto this, because an issue I had with the original adaptation was that everything was kind of drab and flat, in my opinion, and mm-hmm. like same looking. And I think Passione will fix that. Changes in this, I know that there was a lot of anime original like plot lines and stuff in the that adaptation that people like.
Yeah, that, if you want to know our thoughts, we did an episode on both.
We did. I was having a bad day that day.
We all have and bad days.
This is to sort of like, it's like a brotherhood kind of scenario, right? Like Spice.
I hope so, because they haven't said like how many episodes it's going to be yet. That's like a huge thing for me is how much content we're getting.
I suspect we're going to get like 12 episodes, but it's Spice and Wolf, so we'll keep getting more, is like how I think, right? Because it's a popular show.
Oh, it's very popular light novel. Surprisingly very popular VR game.
Where you just like live with Hollow. Yeah. So I wasn't the biggest Spice and Wolf fan, but I'm excited to watch this because I do think there's something there, and I'm excited to see if they put a good twist on it. Sure. Not even twist, if it just how they adapt it. I think, you know, different adaptations of things are cool. So I just want to see how it differs.
For sure. I was a little bit higher than Miles was on Spice and Wolf. I think I gave each season an 8. I really enjoyed like the dynamics between the two. A couple things with this brotherhood treatment, both Hollow and Lawrence's VAs, the Japanese VAs, are coming back to reprise their role. So if you're a fan of the sub, that's awesome. I like the dub a little bit better when I rewatched it, but I did enjoy the sub. Another thing is Kevin Pankin's doing the music. If you don't know who Kevin Pankin is, he does the music for Made in Abyss, Rising of the Shield Hero. What else did he do? Tower of God. So he's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, like music composers of anime. So I'm hoping that we get a nice fantasy theme. I mean, he's like on par with like Adam Call. Like, I don't know if this is going to be Frieren level of like fantasy style music, but if anybody could match that, it's probably Kevin Pankin. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, it's Spice and Wolf is kind of like a show that's like on its own. There's not a lot of shows that are compared to Spice and Wolf. And that's kind of like what I like about Spice and Wolf. I like the trade, the espionage sometimes with the with these trade merchants and dealers that they mess around with, and sort of the backstabbing and blackmail that can go on behind the scenes. So that was one thing that I enjoyed about the OG ones. I'm hoping that we get to see something like that again in the remake, depending if what kind of content that they're going to cover. I think there's a lot of questions going into this that I would like answered before like my hype meter is gauged correctly, because like if we're getting 64 episodes, I'm going to be like glued to my TV every day that this airs. But if it's like 12, like I don't need to watch this like the Friday it comes out. I could watch this on Tuesday. So it's one of those things where I'm just like, I'm intrigued by the content and what they're going to cover and sort of just the treatment that it's going to get. You look confused.
No, I'm just I'm just thinking about I don't know, like how different it's going to be, because there are some like major characters in
the original
show that are anime only that like very much inform the plot. So I'm
yes,
yeah,
the girl so in season one that's in Lawrence's like yes. first village isn't in the light novel.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see how that'll work. Or you know, I don't know. I guess I'm just like interested in it. So I was just sort of like working through my mind, like what I know will probably change and everything, and then it just like really quickly sort of unravels. But like because of at least the first several episodes are, I feel like, going to be pretty different.
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't know. He meets Hollow in episode, like the end of episode one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be intrigued to see how they handle the plot. I agree.
And then, like, I was thinking, like, I don't know how much content is left from the light novels. So, like, could we expect 64 total?
I think quite a bit.
Okay.
Because, like, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not. But, like, you know, like, Hollow and Lawrence have a kid eventually. Like, that's not even, like, in the first two seasons of the anime.
VR game.
They haven't even, I don't even think they've even, like, kissed in the anime, the first two seasons of the anime. So, like, I think we got quite a bit of content to get through. How many light, I can see how many volumes of the light novel.
Oh, is Spice and Wolf still going?
Oh, it's still going, that's right. Yeah, well, I think it's one of those things where it's, like, they come out with, like, a volume, like, every 3 years or something like that. Where it's just, like, they're on their time now. I think it's technically still going, and there's the spinoff with their kid.
Okay.
There's some stuff that I don't remember. You'd have to go back and listen to our review where I know way more about Spice and Wolf during that time, but yeah. I mean, it's Hollow, it's Lawrence. I love their dynamic. To me, it's not a must watch, but I'm really looking forward to this one. I would say consider it if you're a fan of like I'm trying to think, because like Lawrence is kind of like a tsundere. But he's also like a grown ass man, and
Hollow's the tsundere.
They're both fucking tsundere.
You can't just have two tsunderes. What is this? They're kind of war?
Lawrence is kind of a tsundere, because every time like Hollow wants like make an advance, he's like, oh no, I don't know. They're both silly. I like their dynamic a lot. If you're like slow burn romance with some supply and demand esque storylines, check out Spice and Wolf.
If you've been waiting for an anime written by Ayn Rand, check
out. Good one. I like that. You got any other thoughts on Spice Wolf before we move to the next one?
Yeah, I the only reason I'm not going to call it a must watch is because it already exists, sort of.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but like I think that like if you haven't watched any of it before, wait and see if people think it's good or not, and then hop in if you want to. And if you've watched it before, I suspect you'll want to check it out.
Yeah,
is sort of how I would view that.
I think that's I like that. You definitely word it better than I do. So listen to what Miles says, not me. Except for this,
Yuri is my job. Oh, okay.
Do not listen to Miles on that one. This is kind of like Yuri is my job. but
sort of.
Really. Okay, our next show, I got my manga right here. Whisper Me a Love Song. Yori is a mature girl in many ways, but she is still pure when it comes to romance. The sentiment is proven when an underclassman, Imari, suddenly confesses her love to her and her band at her band's performance at the freshman opening ceremony. Confused and surprised, Yori asks her friends for a consultation, but then they tease her by saying that she is experiencing love. Yori soon makes up her mind and tries to return Himari's feelings, but in a twist of events, she realizes that what Himari loved was not her, but her music. As Yori continues to pursue her love for Himari, she promises to make Himari fall in love for her. However, this passionate love bloom will remain or be unrequited. I've read 4 volumes of Whisper Me a Love Song. The main characters remind me a lot of Bloomin' to You, just based off like style. And that was a Yuri that I enjoyed for the most part. I heard the manga is much better than the anime, but for the anime, I liked it too. This one, how do I put it? There's a lot of roadblocks in this story where it reminds me a little bit of like some shonen romances where as progression starts to move forward, something stops the progression altogether. And this story does kind of do that, at least for the parts that I've read. I don't know if it gets more past volume 4. However, it's a very fun and cute show. I think that if the music is good, that could add another element to this story. I have a feeling that Miles is going to hate this because this is just gay Bocchi the Rock. But
you know what? No. The Rock is gay Bocchi the Rock. I think the ADD girl, everyone,
Kita.
She's gay, and I've heard people fight that. I will accept no other answer.
No, for sure. But I guess I had to throw that in there just because it's whatever. But I think this is a very cute, like Yuri style show. But I have a feeling that it's going to be go read the manga type of ending where I don't know how much I could recommend this. I'll have to wait and see, but I just have a feeling that this is gonna be the stereotypical 12 episode Yuri, where some things get fleshed out, a lot of things don't. It's open-ended, and you need to go read the manga because we're never getting a second season. Miles, your thoughts on Whisper Me a Love Song?
Yeah, so one, the studio doing this is the same studio that's currently doing Witch and the Beast.
Okay.
Which is a show that you do not like.
I dropped it.
Yeah, that I have been enjoying. However, I've not been enjoying it because of its animation. So that'll be interesting to see, because like romances and stuff like this, I feel like more so than other slice of life type of things, like sort of rely on like whammy shots, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you want those cherry blossom petals flowing around and the hair going while they look at each other on a walkway sort of deal.
Yeah.
And if we have music, right? Music is something that's always animated like kind of weirdly. Unless your kid's on the slope or that one season of Bang Dream. you know, so that is a little concerning to me. The other thing that's like, I don't know how much I like this twist where like she thinks this girl's confessing to her, but then she wasn't confessing to her. But then she's like, I guess I'll make her like me anyway. Like
that's the thing. This synopsis is a little confusing because like they do like each other. But did you ever watch Bloomin' to You?
No, in a very un-Miles like move. I've okay. not yet.
So Bloomin' to You, it's like one character likes the other character way more than the other one type of deal.
Yes,
this is kind of the same deal where it's like do they both like each other? Yes, but like one definitely likes the other one a little bit more than the other. And okay. So that I think it's some people have problems with that dynamic in that like that scenario where it's so I just wish you saw Bloomin' to You so I could describe it for you.
I mean I do get some of it. Like one of the girls of Bloomin' to You has like a very hard time with romance like in general, right? Like from my understanding.
I would say a little bit. She's not like super interested in it.
Yeah, she's not like aromantic exactly, but like very slow in her it's why it's called Bloomedy.
Because
she opens up over time. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to watch this. Like, I'm going to, knowing that it will take a while because it's a Yuri, and some roadblocks and stuff coming up, and like the premise of it, like, I guess you said that that's probably going to be executed better. I don't know. I guess I'm like a little hesitant on this, but not like terribly so. I guess it's like middle floor, low ceiling kind of thing for me. Like, I don't think this is going to blow me away or anything, but I also don't think it's going to disappoint me in any way.
I really do think it's just going to get the Bloom into You treatment. If this came out and said like it got 24 episodes, like, that would raise it so much, because we would get so much more content, things get fleshed out. But a 12 episode like slow burn Yuri, I just don't know what to expect. I don't know what volume we're going to be left off on, that type of thing, just based off what I've read.
Do we know? We don't know how many episodes you're getting currently, right?
No. If I was a betting man, and I am, I would bet this is 12 episodes, and only 12 episodes. So this is like, I'm a sucker for romance. I'm a sucker for Yuri. I'm going to watch this. If you're in the same boat as me, it's probably a must watch. But I think for most average romance watchers, this is going to be middle of the pack. Like, it, especially coming off the tail ends of Sign of Affection and Dangers in My Heart from last season, this is not going to be on this. I mean, I know we're not the biggest Dangerous fans, but a lot of people fucking love Dangerous in My Heart.
Okay, this is unbelievable. That wasn't the show you listed that I was making that face at.
Oh, it's Sign of Affection?
I still don't get it.
Yeah, well, that's a new thing, my man. That newest episode was an omega.
I haven't watched the newest one. It has been getting better, I will say, because they've started talking to each other and expressing interest in each other, and I'm a big fan of
that. Yeah. But back to what I was saying, coming off, I'll say of the majority of people thoroughly enjoying shows like Sign of Affection and Dangers in My Heart, this isn't going to be even remotely close to, I think, of that level. So I think when it's all said and done, it's probably going to be in like the 7 range. So I would say, like, if you're a fan of just like romance, go out and check it. Otherwise, I don't think you need to really go out and peep this.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with that concept. What I guess, like, I have a question for you.
What's up?
Because so you frequently, like, I'm not the world's biggest romance anime guy.
Guess who is?
Me. So you frequently talk about like shonen anime.
Yes.
And how long, like, in shonen compared to like shoujo, like couples take to like get together and stuff. Yes. But my exposure to shonen romances is like Horimiya, and
that's like the exception. Yeah.
Well, like Dangers of My Heart, they get together relatively quickly.
They're still not together. It's season 2.
They're dating and stuff. Like, not. I don't know. Like, it's like progressing. They went on a date. I saw it.
Went on a date. They're not dating though.
It's tomato, tomato. I guess, like, what are ones that have like that are that over, like, because I don't think like the burn of Dangers in My Heart is like bad at this point. I don't think it has overextended its welcome as far as that concept is goes. Like, what would you say are the shows that do that, like, take too long?
Man, there's one that's coming out this year that we will be talking about. It's one of the best selling like shonen romances, like, close. I don't want to say ever, but it sold like 4 million copies and it came out in 2021, which is a lie. It's called Blue Box, which I have read like 100-something chapters of.
You know what? Like Komi, right? Like Komi is one.
That's a good one. But it's just one of those things where when I say shonen romance, it's progressing the plot to a point where this would be a really good time to establish them as a couple and like confirm it. And then like, hey, the transfer student comes in and they were actually childhood friends with the main character and now everything has changed. It's stuff like that that I would say happens more in like shonen properties than say shoujo properties. That happens in shoujo properties. I'm not gonna say it doesn't, but from my experience of reading shonen romances, that's like a huge trope where it's just like childhood friend, the third party is like really cemented into it, or like a traumatic event happens where it's like, oh, my dad got into a car accident and now, or whatever, or nationals is coming up and I can't have a boyfriend for some reason. It's stuff like that where I feel like it's unnecessary roadblocks, where I think this is more on like the manga side, okay, where like things like Blue Box is like so popular, and like what makes it popular is the chase. So they prolong the chase because they can, and it's easy to do. It's been done so many times. I think people are like accustomed to it. And then once things are like settled, the steam sort of wears off. I think we also saw that with something like Kaguya a little bit, where once they were in, this is manga only, when they were an established couple in the manga, the steam kind of fell off a little bit in terms of like popularity, because that chase was gone. And I think a lot of people prefer the chase than the actual like cementing of the relationship, and it just happens in those properties.
Guilty.
Yep. But like, it sucks for like Kaguya, where like the chase is like so funny, and like there's so many different elements to it. When it's a show like, I'm just using Blue Box, and I just, because it's in my head, you'll it's my biggest critique with it, because I think the story itself is actually really well if they just remove those roadblocks. And so back to Whisper Me a Love Song, same shit.
Okay,
do you have any final thoughts before we move to the next
one? I don't necessarily think I would consider this like a must watch. I think it's, if you're okay with the things that you've described, then go ahead and watch it. It seems good. I'll be watching it. Like, I'm excited to watch it, but I know that those are some things that annoy people, right? Like when you have 12 episodes, 24 episodes, then there's no real relationship, you know, progression, really.
I have this right behind me. So Whisper Me a Love Song is like a Yuri about music. There's another Yuri about music. It's called How Do We Relationship, where I thoroughly enjoyed that dynamic a lot more. It also helps that they're in college. But, my Nadeshiko figure fell. No!
Oh, you just knocked her over!
I need her. I need her when we talk.
You need her.
But I think we do have stories out there that have what I'm looking for. So I think it's just personal preference. So I'll just say this also, for if you like Whisper Me a Love Song, read How Do We Relationship. I hope it gets an anime one day. I doubt it. You never know, though. But these Yuris are popping up a little bit more. So
do you know which magazine it's serialized in?
Which one? Whisper?
No, the one that you want to get an anime.
Oh, How Do We Relationship?
Yeah.
It is in Manga One.
Okay, yeah. Because there's been a lot of, like, comic Yuri Hime adaptations lately, right? So we got, like, Yuri Is My Job. We've gotten Whisper Me a Love Song. We've gotten I'm in Love with the Villainous. So I was wondering if it was in there, because, like, it seems like they're sort of making a push to animate their shows, but... That's not one of them. So.
No, this magazine has done the Mob Psycho manga, Magi, and that's about it in terms of manga.
Okay, cool. So you pick up that magazine, you get your Mob Psycho, and then you get your Yuri romance.
Yes.
Yep. Same place.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so I'm up next, and I'll be talking about Go-Go Loser Ranger.
Can't believe they called it this.
I think that's a great name.
Do you know what the other title was supposed to be called?
Ranger Reject, right? Yeah.
You like Go-Go Loser Ranger better?
Well, I was a huge Power Rangers fan when I was a kid. So like the Go-Go Power Rangers. Yeah. Like, I think that's
why they did it. Like,
oh yeah. And it worked on me. I was like, nostalgia. Perfect. Let's go. 13 years ago, the nefarious monster army, that's the name too, nefarious is all capitalized, they're literally the nefarious monster army, invaded Earth, but humanity's great protectors, the Dragon Keepers, defeated them in a single year. Every Sunday since, the monsters have been forced to act out humiliating defeat after defeat in front of the unsuspecting public. Determined to change this, a single monster, D, infiltrated the Ranger Force with the help of the mysterious Ranger Yumiko Suzukuri. D managed to seize one of the divine artifacts, the only weapon capable of permanently killing the monster's immortal bodies. However, D's subsequent encounter with the Dragon Keepers led to his unfortunate end, so who will stop them now? So, I picked this because I liked the name to talk about, and I've heard people talk about the manga before and what I believe is relatively positive light, but I don't know a lot about this. Pete, what do you know?
It has a very interesting synopsis compared to the manga synopsis. I can just give my thoughts on based off what I've heard through the grapevine. Shout out to my boy Yato. This is his favorite ongoing manga. The premise from what I heard is more of like, you have this Super Sentai collection of Power Rangers. And essentially, they're getting paid like a living wage or whatever. It's like the boys or whatever. Like, they're the top five heroes and they're getting paid and they're loved because they're keeping evil away from like the civilians. But like, the thing is, the evil doesn't exist anymore. They like defeated everybody. And so like, the bad guys are like actors essentially, but they are from like the evil planet or whatever, but like, they're essentially like captive and they have to like,
yeah,
act out things so the Super Sentais can come and like beat them up. But then like, the main character is sort of like sick of this shit, and he sort of like, I think throughout his means or whatever, figures out a way to sort of go against the Super Sentai and kind of like rise above it. So like, I think he's a loser in the beginning, and then as the story progresses, he gets a little bit more powerful through whatever means that is. Also, fun fact, this is done by the guy who did Quintessential Quintuplets.
So it's gonna be really good.
Yeah, so it's very funny to see, you know, this guy branching out outside of a harem rom-com to do this Super Sentai. But I've seen panels and it's like, I think it's one of these shows that starts out a little silly and goofy, but then like, people get like fucked up and like die and shit. Like, I don't think this is like, I think it's more like the PV art makes it look a little fun. I think this is more like PG pushing R rated stuff towards later parts. I'm intrigued to see how many episodes we get. I thought I saw that this might be a 2-core.
Okay.
I can't confirm that, but I saw some rumors from whoever that I saw it from. But yeah, I'm actually just jacked because this guy that I follow, his name's Yato, plays, and I really like his, he's like one of three people that I like thoroughly enjoy his manga takes and recommendations. And this is his favorite ongoing one. So just because of him, I'm going to be watching this for sure. But also, kind of going back to Kaiju number 8, Super Sentai Power Rangers stuff, I like it. It's not really my favorite. I was never like a Power Rangers kid growing up. I watched it, but I was more towards like Beast Wars and stuff like that. So
I loved Beast Wars.
Beast Wars is so good. So like, I'm personally, I'm in the middle ground, but I've heard so many good things about the story. The real negative though is that it's called Go Go Loser Ranger and not Ranger Reject. Ranger Reject sounds way better than Go Go Loser Ranger.
Go Go Loser Ranger is maybe the best anime name ever. It's also written by the man who wrote the best mystery of the century in the Quintessential Quintuplets. I was a Power Ranger for Halloween for like 5 years in a row.
You were a Power Ranger last year, bro.
Yes. When I met my wife, she was dressed as the Pink Power Ranger. Fun fact.
Ooh.
So actually, that was in my wedding vows. What I like about this is like, the Rangers are like antagonists, right? And their outfits are like relatively sinister compared to what I normally see in like Super Sentai sort of things, and I like that.
They're not like the Kill a Kill student council people a little bit. Yeah. Especially the big dude.
Yeah. It actually is like very, very much like that. Yeah, I'm excited to watch this. I think it's interesting concept wise at least, and you know, I don't know how it's gonna be. But I'm excited to see it. I don't know a ton about Super Sentai stuff, so like, maybe stuff will go over my head, right? Like, maybe I won't understand references or, you know, deconstruction of tropes or whatever of tropes. But no, I'm still excited to watch it. I mean, the only other Super Sentai thing that I've watched is Love After World Domination, which I love.
Yeah, that's so true.
I'm excited.
Yeah, if this show does suck, then I can like maybe go on Twitter and troll people and be like, Love After World Domination greater than sign Go Go Loser Ranger or something like that. But yeah, this is middle ground, but just based off what I've heard, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little bit above middle ground.
Yeah, I would not even like cautiously optimistic. I would say like I'm excited to watch this. I don't have like world. I'm like, oh, this will be fun.
Yeah,
right. That's my mood going.
This is a rare property where like both of us really don't know shit about it. Like no one in our Discord reads this manga. Usually like through osmosis or something like that, through the people that we interact with, we can get a little bit. The only thing I know is my boy Yato being like, this shit's gas. I'm like, all right, guess it's cool. So he's the one that got me into Children of the Whales, which is one of my favorite manga ever. So if he likes that and he likes this, I'm hopefully gonna like it as well. So that is Ranger Reject, not Go-Go Loser Ranger.
I can't believe you don't like Go-Go Loser Ranger. It sucks, it's so great.
It sucks, dude. It's so, I don't know. Maybe it was like a child. Like, you know how they do like the Super Sentai Child's Plays things? And the like the kids cheer for the
yes.
If that was called, if that stage play was called Go-Go Loser Ranger, I get it.
Okay. The Japanese name, I just threw it into Google Translate. Translates to Great Sentai Disqualification. So that's the real name. I think we should all call it the Great Sentai Disqualification.
Well, we will both be watching the Great Sentai Disqualification airing this.
You really want to say hentai there?
I got something else on my mind.
Okay.
These Oshinoko chapters got me feeling some type of way.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, next up, we got a story called Windbreaker, which is when I originally saw the PV art, I thought this was going to be Blue Lock, like, 2. Like, I always wore Windbreakers when like I played, like, soccer or something like that. But no, I've heard this been called Tokyo Avengers, essentially. I'm guessing it's a bunch of just delinquents beating each other up. Let's read the synopsis. Haruka wants nothing to do with weaklings. He's only interested in the strongest of the strong. He just started at Furin High School, a school of degenerates known only for their brawling strength. Strength they use to protect their town from anybody who wishes it ill. But Haruka's not interested in being a hero or being part of any sort of team. He just wants to fight his way to the top. Miles, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. This shit looks awful. Straight up.
Okay, cool. I'm glad. Okay, I'm not excited about this either.
Like it's like I don't know, is this like Fight Club but for like high school delinquents? Like
what I will say about it is that I kind of like the fact that it just sort of drops all pretense of it. I don't know anything about it, right? So please forgive me, anyone who is familiar with this adaptation and likes it and knows more about it than me. From this three sentence synopsis, it just sort of sounds like the guy was like, I just want people to like fight each other and like get stronger and like raise up rankings. Here's a high school. They do that there. There's nothing else really going on, you know? So I think that is like, I like that. I like that in a show when it just says like, this is what I am. Here it is. I haven't bothered dressing it up, take it or leave it. That being said, the thing that they're not dressing up is something that I often need very dressed up to enjoy.
No, for sure. The MC also looks like a,
I don't like the character
isekai edgelord main character who he has at least 4 wives. Like he's got 2 different colored eyes. One half of his hair is black, the other half is white. He reminds me of like Sid from Eminence and Shadow, where another
don't be mean. Sid has mad drip.
He is atomic.
The cape goes hard, dude.
This guy
doesn't have a cape.
I don't want to get too much into Eminence and Shadow talk, but there's only so much levels of male power fantasy that I can really dive into. Windbreaker, I just don't know, man. Like, I haven't watched the PV. I know that there's, like, a trailer for it, but I don't know. I wasn't really the biggest Tokyo Revengers fan. I watched season 1, and then I saw the manga spoilers and how it ended, and I was just like, nah, I'm good. And Windbreaker, to me, is, like, that without, like, I don't know. It's just brawling, which to me is boring, which is why I never watched, like, Baki, which is why I never watched like Kengan Ashura, these just like pure brawling animes where it's like there's no plot. They just want to fuck each other up. I'm like, hey, if that's your thing, go for it. But that ain't my thing.
So my question is from like a meta perspective, what is it that is like, why is this on our list?
Great question, Miles.
Okay.
I'm going to keep it a bean with you. I was going through the list of like, the popular shows, and this was like number 7 non-sequel, so I said, throw it on there. And you know what? Every now and then, sometimes, also, it makes for good content, my man. Like, or we can come back later and we find out that Windbreaker is actually just like legit shit, and then this is in the ether of the internet forever, and be like, remember that one time where Peter said that this shit was ass and it's actually peak? It's there forever. We never know until we find out. So
yeah, 100%. Well, I didn't know if, because like usually when we put stuff on, neither of us are going to be interested in. It's like it has a claim,
sure,
in some way. You know, it's like not our taste, but in the thing that isn't our taste, it's like the top of the crop. You know, and it's like known to be good if that's your thing.
Yeah,
and you know, is this good? Do people like it?
Yeah, I don't like, because okay. Like. Everyone compares it to Tokyo Revengers, and okay. That's a show that I thought was like okay. So if it's like a better Tokyo Revengers, I'll probably enjoy it. But I didn't read the synopsis until I started reading. I had no idea what the story's about. I just heard somebody call it the Tokyo Avengers. I was like, that's funny. I want to say that on the podcast.
Okay, so I'm gonna really quick read a review from the manga.
All right,
this is the first paragraph. It says, "I'm going to straight to the point. This is very Shonen Jump-ish. We have a tsundere main character with a cool design, a tragic past, and an unstoppable wish to fight strong people. He joins the worst school in Shibuya just for fighting all the boncho there. I don't know what that means. But surprise, these bad guys are heroes, and they save the day, the place they live from, like, real, whatever boncho means. And then so, it sort of sounds like, yeah, he, like, goes to the school because he wants to fight people. And then he gets really good at fighting people, and then he helps save the day by fighting people.
Okay. If it's like the Body Improvement Club from Mob, where like these big jack dudes are actually just like fantastic people and awesome bros, and they get together and they have like a great friendship, fuck it. Windbreaker might be it, but I don't know. The premise just seems so silly. They just want to fight, but I guess they're the good guys. I don't know, man. I guess we'll wait and see. You know what? Maybe this is a must watch just so I can find out. Like, I don't know.
Okay. I'm not watching
this. Okay. I'll let you know.
Okay. Thanks. Like, I will watch it if enough people tell me it's good. Like, I don't mind People Get Stronger worlds, right? Like, I'm very much enjoying solo leveling right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. This is just like, I think the whole, like, I've never really understood the delinquent sort of thing. Like, I think that's like a little Japanese culture-y, like, and then also I went to Catholic school.
Yeah, it's like out of our age group, because like in like the 80s, like we had like greasers and stuff like in our.
Oh, yeah.
But like
yeah.
That was like that. And like, you know, like Grease and stuff where like we have like these cool delinquents, but that kind of phased out of our society, I feel like. And now all kids do is vape and play Fortnite. This is like, I wonder if that's still like ingrained in like Japanese society where like it's still kind of cool. I did see like a delinquent when I was in Japan. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. He had like a big ass motorcycle and he looked 17. I was like, oh, this is lit. So I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you tell me it's good, I'll think
you
about
won't,
it.
You won't watch it. Shut up.
No, seriously. Look,
I'll watch it for you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You won't think it's good, by the way.
I think the ceiling for this is a 7.
Okay. Yeah, that's not going to convince me.
Nah. Let's move on to the next show.
Okay. This is a Bartender Glass of God. Hidden in the back streets of the Ginza district is Eden Hall, a lone bar operated by Ryo Sasakura, the prodigy bartender who is said to mix the most incredible cocktails anyone has ever tasted. However, not just anyone can find Eden Hall. Rather, it is Eden Hall that must find you.
Ooh.
Customers of varying backgrounds, each plagued with their own troubles, wander into this bar. Nevertheless, Ryo always knows the ideal cocktail to console and guide each distraught soul. Really quick, Pete, what does this give you, like, vibes of?
Death Parade.
Because yep. So, this sort of seems to me like a more mature Death Parade, right? Like a less... nihilistic Death Parade. I don't know.
Don't think it has like that aspect to it, but it does kind of have that vibe of
like I don't think these people are dead. Yeah, but just like in the way that they're going to come into this establishment that's a bar, and then they'll work through their problems, yes, in 1 to 2 episodes.
Yep.
with some drama along the way. I don't know. To me, I think it's pretty interesting. I like that it's an adult cast, right? We're old.
Forever young, so though.
So that's nice. And bartending in anime is like always been kind of cool. Like, I like that a lot. I think it leads to a lot of cool animation shots and everything.
Like, Hinamatsuri was that's a little different, but that was super fun.
Well, I mean, that's like the funniest thing that's ever happened in the show.
It's really good.
Best part of Hinamatsuri, easily.
Anju gang in the house. Oh, I have Shout out to my Hinamatsuri gals. Woo! There's for you.
So yeah. So I don't know. I'm excited to watch this because I think as long as this is done well and the individual stories that these characters do go through, and you have like a relatively charismatic, like this main guy is charismatic, I'm excited to watch this.
Yeah, me too. So for the manga, the anime doesn't have the Iyashiki genre on there, but the manga does. So I do hope. You know, kind of just like with with food or whatever, like the gourmet theme. Mm-hmm. To me, that's like relaxing. The vibes are fun. And if you can keep that level of what I look for in like slice of life food anime, I think it'd be an interesting twist on it with, you know, adding alcohol to the mix, because it's alcohol is fun. Like, so if you drink it responsibly, you can have a really good time. And also some of your problems can be solved with alcohol. So it'll be intriguing to see how Miles gave me the look. That was a joke. But yeah, I am looking forward to it. Let me get your thoughts on this. Do you want this show to be a full episode, or do you think this would be work better in like a short? Like 12-minute episodes?
I could see it working either way. I think that depending on how in depth they want these issues to be and how many flashbacks and everything they do, like I don't know exactly how this works.
That's
right?
A good point.
But if you do the thing like Death Parade, where, you know, you're making the drink or whatever, and then like the person's talking and then it flashes back, and then you can do some like dramatic irony or something where you have two people and you realize there's a misunderstanding, and, you know, or you could just have them talking, and then I think like a short would be good there too. It just
100% agreed. Yep, could not agree more. I think I'm intrigued to see how they handle that. The manga reviews are pretty solid. I watched the PV. It looks fun. I'm a big fan of like cocktails in general. I know a lot of people like making food that they see in anime. I think this would be really fun to make some cocktails that we see in anime. Even though, like, I mean, we could probably just watch YouTube videos and do it, but something about it being made in anime could be.
Yeah, you can do that with the food too, right? It's something about like seeing it in a show.
Yeah, exactly. That like sparks my interest. So yeah, adult cast is a huge thing for me. They have 9 cast members listed on MAL, so maybe we have like various ranges from like regulars to first time customers type of thing, and that can play like a fun dynamic as well. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. For me, this is like, I mean, anything with an adult cast for sure is a must watch. Depending on the topic, but adult cast with alcohol, yeah, I'm fully in.
Yeah, for me, again, it's one of the shows that I'm more excited to watch. I'm excited that I like found it while perusing, because it was like pretty far down there in the seasonal list. I don't think I would call it a much watch for like the general audience, because it does seem sort of niche. But if you know the general like Pete vibe for things, and you're a fan of that for like these adult cast shows, then I would for sure watch it. And there's enough overlap, I think, with the type of stuff I like as well. So I think we're both excited to give it a go.
Hell yeah. Can't wait to talk about Bartender in our mid-season like check-in thing. Next up, we have The Fable. Fable is a legendary hitman who has completed numerous jobs for a variety of clients. After concluding his latest assignment, the number of people he has recently killed becomes too high, and Fable is ordered by his boss to lay low for a year. He has suggested that having to adapt to his life as an ordinary citizen might prove as a valuable experience for his future work. Fable is accompanied by the woman who acts as his driver, and the two will assume new identities as siblings. However, their boss warns that they will face deadly punishment if Fable kills anyone during his time off. Thus begins Akira and Yoko Sato's journey of a one-year sabbatical from the underworld. Reminds me a lot of Way of the House Husband, where you have like this former Yakuza dude who's now like a house husband, and this dude's just trying to live his life as a it's like, what if John Wick was like a slice of life? It's kind of like the vibe I'm getting, or a I guess comedy. John Wick. Yeah, prequel to John Wick or something like that.
He's just like living with his wife, having a good time.
Yeah, well, so something like along those lines. The main tag for this is comedy, which is also why I kind of lean more towards Way of the House Husband. I know Jay has read this. Hooks in our Discord/Twitter that I know of has read this, and they are a big fan of the Fable. So that has me really excited. It has like an 8.5 the manga. However, it's 22 volumes and 240 chapters. This is confirmed for two cores. So we are getting at least 24 episodes of the Fable. So that helps a little bit. I'm guessing they're going to try to put everything into this season. That being said, I think this looks really funny. It's giving me a lot of like really fun. I mean, we mentioned it before, Hinamatsuri vibes too, with like, when you actually do like the Yakuza, when they do like the Yakuza stuff in Hinamatsuri, where like, yeah, they're like shooting guns and stuff, but it's still kind of funny at the same time. That's the kind of the vibe I got with the Fable. So really looking forward to this. Miles, your thoughts on the Fable?
Yeah. So when I read this, I was like, I got to put this on the list because Pete will like this. I'm excited about it too. I think it's like a fun concept. I like the animation for it. I think it's it's not your sort of common day or recently sort of animation. Yep. Like the faces look different, and I find that refreshing. There's like a parrot on his head. I'm excited to see where this little bird comes in. And I think it, you know, as long as the comedy hits on this, and I think it has a lot of room for being funny, like the concept, that framework works, I think that I will enjoy this quite a bit.
Yep. Please do not slaughter this like they did with the Way the House Husband anime. I know a lot of people didn't mind it, but just knowing what we could have had really ruined that for me. This, I mean, we've seen the PV. It's not like that at all, but I think this will be a lot of fun. And this, based off like how many members it has on MAL, it's at 12,000 right now. This is probably going to be like a sleeper, I feel like.
Yeah, I definitely think it's something that has the potential to gain traction over the season.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely one of the shows that I'm more excited about watching this season, because I think if it's funny, it's good. And also what I like about it is it feels very low commitment to me, where if I watch one or two episodes and I am not feeling it, I don't think there's any societal pressure to keep
watching. For sure.
You know, I could just stop.
Yep.
And I like that. I'm always a fan of that sort of thing.
Yes. Yep. Agreed. Yeah. For me, this is up there. I don't know if I really have any like must watches this season, to be honest. But this is, again, adult cast comedy, a silly premise, giving me Hinamatsuri vibes, giving me sort of not in the same light, but same thing with like One Punch Man type of vibes, where I think they could do like really funny, silly stuff with over the top action. So really looking forward to the Fable.
You could do like right, he's not allowed to kill anyone, so there can be interesting sort of like pacifist run things where he can't kill someone, but he's like in a situation where normally you
like someone's trying to kill him and he's like can't kill the other person. Yeah,
exactly. So I think there's a lot of cool things with that, where if they like really stick to the premise in like an almost absurdist kind of way, it will be fun.
Yep.
There's also like the scenario like of a potential romance between him and the driver, but they're like pretending to be siblings that can lead to humor. Because could you imagine a show where like the just siblings?
Stop. Okay, just stop. Sweet Home Alabama is not playing in the background right now.
I think that would be crazy, right?
Like, that
I
would be imagine crazy. People should not do that in their works.
And even if you like framed it like in some sort of play or movie, anyway.
Yep.
Next up is called A Condition Called Love. As far as I know, contains no incest. So Hotaru Hensei is a first year high school student who treasures her family and friends above all else. Unable to understand romance, she decides she will be content living without the experience of falling in love. A great thing for a freshman in high school to do. While Halter is spending time at a cafe with her close friend, she witnesses the relentless breakup of a handsome honor student, Hanone, Encountering him sitting alone in the snow on her way home, she extends her umbrella to him in a gesture of kindness. The very next day, he appears in Hotaro's classroom, asking her to be his girlfriend. Despite being rejected, he sticks closely by Hotaru's side, performing selfless acts in hopes of pleasing her. Hotaru begins to feel emotions she has never felt before. Believing that these emotions could blossom into love, Hotaru agrees to date him. Pete, is this something that you're like turning around and you're grabbing?
I do not own any volumes for this.
Wow, I'm a bit surprised.
You want me to speak on this, Miles?
Yes.
Okay. This is the shoujo community fucking loves a condition called love.
I fucking read that synopsis. Of course they do.
Oh, people go crazy over this. I'm intrigued because I haven't. This was like on my like plan to read list, and then it got announced for the anime. So it's like,
okay,
we're waiting. Yep, I picked up some other shoujos to read. The main character Saki is going to have a, because we kind of had this with Itsumi. With a sign of affection where he's a little handsy, he's a little controlly-ish, and depending on who you are, some people had problems with this. The main character Saki is a very problematic character in the community. A lot of people either absolutely adore him or think he is like way too much.
Oh, I'm gonna hate him, aren't I?
You'll probably think he's the best character.
Oh, wait, okay, what is he, evil? Like
probably.
Okay.
I think it's because of like the main girl Hotaru sort of like figuring out how she feels, and him being a little bit too extra rubs people the wrong way. This is all speculation from what I've heard through the grapevine. I have not touched it, but I do know like it gets a lot better. And once you get through like the first couple volumes, people just like absolutely fall in love with this story. So I think we might have some rough edges to start with. I'm really intrigued to see how it plays out since I know almost nothing about this.
And we don't know how many episodes we're getting
yet. Oh, well, it's a shoujo, so it's probably getting 12 episodes in one season. So
okay.
let's keep it 100. It's probably not getting much content.
Well, I guess I'm interested. I like the way this looks. It's like very pretty. I do like, you know, something where like someone's exploring their emotions like that could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of Whisper Me a Love Song too. It kind of has the same vibes with them discovering each other just in a different setting, I guess.
Yeah, but we don't know how long it takes for them to like, it sounds like they get together relatively quickly. Pretty quick. So I have to say, you have intrigued me because I want to know what I think about this guy now, right? Yeah. Like knowing that he's like a controversial figure, because looking at the PV and everything, he just looks like a dude. You know,
he does look like a dude. I wish I asked Cosette a little bit before we record this, because I know she's reading it right now and I've seen some of her tweets, and along with like people like Colleen and stuff, that they are big advocates for this story, that there's a lot of conversation around Saki. I'll just put it that way. Whether it's good, okay, whether it's bad, I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay, we'll find out.
He seems to be in the conversation for every conversation.
Okay, so he would you say he's the centerpiece then of the show?
I don't.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure the girl is like the lens is through her eyes, but I think Saki maybe steals some of it when maybe he's not supposed to. I don't know.
Okay. Intrigued. That's, yeah, I'm so used to you knowing everything.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, too. Yeah, this is, you know, we have like 30 new adaptations. I've seen 27 and I've read 27 of them already.
Yeah,
like,
I wrote my thesis on this one. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, we have this original coming out. But when I was in Japan last month, I actually went to the studio and they showed me the plot of it. Yep. So I'm a big fan of this original that's coming out in a month. That's like Pete stuff.
Hey, sometimes I only know what I know.
I'm excited about this. I like the character designs. I think it looks pretty, and I'm excited if there's going to be discourse about it, right? Like, yeah, if people are going to be fighting online, yeah, about this character, I'm there for that. I'm always there for that.
Yeah. I think it'll be a sign of affection for next season for our Discord.
Okay, are we fighting about Sign of Affection?
I mean, we're a fuck Oshi Discord, so
yeah, that's what I mean.
Every Saturday, like, we're throwing up our gang signs, letting people know that Oshi is not allowed in this Discord.
Are there pro Oshi Discords?
Yeah, there's pro Oshi people.
That's insane. That's a crazy thing to do.
I agree, but I don't know. We'll find out. I think I sold myself a little bit more on wanting to watch this show a little bit more. I think this might be, you know, shoujo romances are up there with some of my favorite things. So this is probably going to be the first show I watch on whatever day it airs. April 4th, whatever day that is. I will
that
be there.
Is a Thursday.
I'll be there no matter what.
Okay. I definitely want to watch this. I'm excited to watch it, and mostly because I like fake fighting with people on the internet.
Yeah, yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah.
All right, that is A Condition Called Love, our last show, our last non-sequel that we're going to be talking about. I'm doing the English title because there's no way I'm gonna pronounce the Japanese title.
Go go loser.
Nah, actually I could do this. Oji-san to Oba-san ga Waka Gatarai Hanashi, a story about a grandpa and a grandma who reunited back into their youth. The synopsis: Shouzo and Ine have been happily married for as long as they can remember. Even in their old age, with wrinkles and cracking limbs, the strength of their love is evident by their precious bond. And then randomly one day they find out that they are young again. Despite their new found youthful and attractive bodies, Shouzo and Ine remain the same as ever. The story follows the young old couple as they go about their daily lives, spending time with family and defying the expectations of the youngsters. This is a B show. 100%.
Oh my god, dude.
This is the most B show I've ever seen.
You sicken me.
Oh, the show.
This is just like the most wholesome thing in the entire world. It's like, this wholesome young couple becomes a wholesome, or old couple becomes a wholesome young couple, and they love each other so much, and they're busy showing how much they love each other, and they can. Sickening.
Yeah,
absolutely sickening.
Yeah, I can't wait. This will be fucking great. I hope this kind of like explores, you know, when you get older, I think a lot of times people have that like reminiscings of things I wish I could have done when I was younger, and so I think maybe that the story explores that. I think that'd be like a pretty interesting premise to sort of explore some things that they didn't get to when they were younger. I don't know if they had like kids, or they were like a pharmacist and their kid was shitting all over them, or their wife was like a nurse and she was sick all the time, so he had to take care of her, you know, that type of vibe. Like, I don't know. It would be interesting to see how that plays out. Miles, do you have any thoughts or any remarks to my statement that I just made?
I can't watch this, man. I don't care if the nurse, like, none of that. It's going to be too wholesome for me, which sounds crazy.
It does.
But I need drama in my life. I need it. I crave it. I need conflict. I like any amount of conflict. And I feel like the show isn't going to have any amount of conflict.
It looks like it has zero. It looks like it's wholesome, like, as fuck.
Yeah. Like the conflict is going to be like, they teach the youth of their village about like how to pick apples better.
Their back hurts when they're old. Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess if like, no, I'm not going to watch it. There's just no chance I'm going to watch it. I can't do the same thing with like Fluffy Paradise for me. Yeah. Right. It's just a small,
if you kept watching, it is a political drama.
I'm sure it is. and I got that vibe from it. It sounded like it, but then it's just too much small child being happy petting animals for me. Yeah. And I need like small child can no longer pet animals and is heartbroken.
Okay, but how often do we get gilfs? Like, we need more gilfs in our...
Holy shit.
What? Oh, now I'm the bad guy. Okay.
Buddy.
What?
Ping pong exists. Oh, how dare
he
you?
He is a babe. Woo! I'm talking about grandpas as well, not just grandmas. But yeah, this is a Pete-coded... They both start with G's, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. April 7th, whatever day that is, I will be there front and center.
That is a Sunday.
All right, Sunday I will be there front and center.
You were talking about how like in like, because from my understanding about this, like I don't even think there's going to be that like nursing back to health and now they don't have to angle that you were talking about. Like I don't think that's going to exist.
I don't know. I don't care.
Okay.
I want to see two people who love each other have fun with each other.
You
is that too much to ask?
That is gross.
I know, right? Disgusting. I'm going to go watch Windbreaker instead.
I'd rather watch... I think I'd rather... Would I rather watch Windbreaker? I have to do some soul search.
Okay.
That's what I need to do.
Okay, sounds good. That kind of wraps up the shows. Are there any non-sequels that you have on your plan to watch that we missed? That you
nothing. Know? Nothing. No. I mean, maybe, but like nothing that I think is worth discussing in any way.
Fair enough. The other ones that I want to shout out for non-sequels, one is called Okari Hadaima. Essentially, it's a BL where dudes can get pregnant. That looks... I don't know what that to expect from that. So I think that's just a super unique concept. So I'm looking forward to checking that one.
Well, you just love shows about two dudes raising a child together.
It's such a good dynamic. I'm sorry, Buddy Days was pretty good up until one point.
Boys love slice of life child care. Yep. It's you, buddy.
Yep. It looks really good. There's one called Unnamed Memory. I think this one you might like. It's like a guy, it's like the champion, and he goes to defeat the evil witch, but then he does like a Shrek 2 with Donkey and the dragon, and he's like, actually, do you want to get married instead of me killing you? And it sort of starts something along those lines. I like witches and romance and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, me too. So this is what I was talking about, like, exactly when I said I have stuff that I might watch, but I didn't want to bring it up. And it's just like, I don't know if this is fair or not. I don't really trust light novel sourced things that much.
Ooh. Don't you like Seventh Time Loop?
I do. And it's from a thing, but like.
It's from a thing that has words.
Yeah, it's from a light novel. I guess, like, to me. Okay, this will be something. I don't trust light novels with male main characters.
Okay, there we go. We got it.
You know, like, this isn't an isekai, but it looks like one. And this is isekai's fault. This is what it is.
Yep.
Anything that's even remotely like fantasy trappinged light novel, I think I just get nervous around because isekai exists.
Sure.
A thing to note is I don't think we're getting like a lot of new isekai or anything this season, and that's
yeah, we're getting some sequels, but about new ones, I don't think so, really. I'm sure we do, I just didn't see it or care.
Yeah.
Last one that I'm gonna shout out is Mission Yosakura Family. It's what if Yor and Lloyd were high school students and actually married and love each other. I think it's something along those lines. They're like Yakuza mission family. I don't know.
Oh, fun. Okay.
It looks fun. I don't know why the main leads are like high schoolers and married, but fuck it. I guess that's where we're at now.
Looks, you gotta have fun. Your cake and eat it too. Yeah, you know, right? What I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It looks aight. I know some people talk about it. It's a Shonen Jump property, so yeah, we'll see. Okay, let's get to the meat and the potatoes. The sequels that we will be watching, since there are so many. Miles, do you have any sequels that you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I mean, the main one for me is going to be Konosuba Season 3.
Gang, gang, baby.
So here, okay. So I guess like my thing about this is going to be, my hot take is I don't think this is going to be as well received as the first two seasons of Konosuba. Having read the light novels.
My darkness head fell off.
Well, she's all about that.
Whoa.
And I don't necessarily want to get into why, because I don't want to, I guess, spoil anything. But I personally am very interested to see how the community likes it, because I do think inertia plays a lot into how things are like received.
Sure.
Where if something's already been good for two seasons in a movie, that if there's some stuff that people might find, maybe it gets forgiven more because you already have that like history. So I'm curious about it. I'm interested to see. I mean, it's going to be funny, by the way. Like there'll be lots of good Konosuba-y stuff. I just don't think it might be as There'll be more discourse about it. Okay. I think. I don't know. What are your thoughts? What are you looking forward to?
Well, Konosuba for sure. My only issue, it's like, you know, this is the third studio to do Konosuba. We went from Dean to JC staff, now to Drive. I watched the PV and it looks very similar, so I'm not like super.
Well, they did Explosion, right? Drive did?
Yes. They did.
And I thought that was done well. And it looked like Konosuba to me. So I'm not super concerned about that.
Yep, that is a very good point. But I mean, this is my number five anime of all time. I can't fucking wait for more Konosuba. I've been itching for it forever. One of the few shows where I've considered picking up like the light novel because I love Konosuba so much. But then I forgot that I don't know how to read. So I had to immediately shut that down.
You get the audiobook, dude.
Oh, is there an audiobook for Konosuba?
So there are for some light novels, right? And so like if you have Spotify Premium, you get X amount of audiobook hours like a month free. And it's relatively short for the type of like Western audiobooks I listen to. But for light novels, you can like bang two out a month and it's pretty good.
Gotcha. Yep. So super, super jacked for Konosuba. But also can't forget, there's my girl Nadeshko. Laid Back Camp Season 3.
And really quick to answer your question, yes, you can get Konosuba audiobooks.
Oh, sick. That's actually kind of cool in case we don't get more content. And like the whole staff is coming, the whole like voice actors are coming back. So, you know, June is one of my favorite VAs for Kazuma. Ri Takahashi for Megumin is just, you know, incredible. So can't wait for that. But Laid Back Camp, my go-to comfort anime. I've rewatched it like 5 times. I can't wait. However, they changed studios and it looks a little shiny. It looks a little different. So I'm worried a little bit about the animation, but I hope like the background art's like crazy good. The music's crazy good because like that's like what makes Laid Back Camp so well done. The VAs are coming back. Can't wait for that. I will be watching the next part of Jobless Reincarnation. I thought the last part that they had sucked ass. I thought part one of season two was pretty bad, for even for my standards. And it wasn't just Rudy this time. But we'll see now that Rudy and Sylphie are like a couple and they're fucking. Probably will lead to more fucking and other shit. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Jobless is weird sometimes. Slime's coming back for a third season. I hated how season two ended. I thought it was terrible. I love Slime. So I think they can easily bounce back from a pretty bad ending of season two. Not much to say. I'm not like, I know there's some people that are like diehard Slime people. I'm like, I think it's like a high 7. I think it's pretty solid. Like the world building is like elite. And then outside of that, it's like fine. So,
I dropped Slime after 2 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine.
So wait, so Laid Back Camp switched to 8-bit, right? 8-bit's doing it.
Yes.
This is the thing I want to bring up. 8-bit is doing a lot. They're doing Slime, Laid Back Camp, and the Irregular Magic High School season 3 all this season.
I'm guessing one of those has been done for a while.
Okay. It's just, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a ton. Right? Yeah, I think actually, yeah, I feel like one of those shows are already completed, like fully completed.
Okay, I would hope for the animators.
Because I'm almost certain 8-bit is not a studio that is, you know, it's not like MAPPA that has 4 animation teams. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that they don't have 4 animation teams.
And that's, I mean, I guess like that would be like my concern, because even though someone would think like, for like Laid Back Camp, right, you're like, oh, the animation doesn't really matter, but like it actually does, because so much of that is like panoramic and like atmospheric shots. You know, so you don't need like Sakuga like out the ass or anything, but you need well animated, well framed like shots, right?
Yep,
like
100%.
That's very important. And then Slime needs the action, right? You need good action sequences for those, and I have no idea what Irregular Magic High School.
They need less sister fucking.
You know what else could use less sister
fucking? Tell me. No, don't tell me. And then the last show I want to shout out is Sound Euphonium. I love Sound Euphonium. I still need to watch the movie before I watch season 3.
Oh, there's a movie. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's a movie before they go to whatever, like nationals or whatever it is. Because I think at the end of season two, they like qualify for nationals. If I'm, and then season, and then the movie is like, I don't know. There's something in between season two and season three that I need to watch. But I'm a huge, I love Sound Euphonium. We just never really had access to watching the movie, so I'll probably have to get on my pirate ship and watch it before it airs. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for Sound Euphonium season three as well. I think I'm a little disappointed. The first Kyoto Annie thing I watched was Violet Evergarden, and it like kept me off Kyoto Annie for a little while.
God, just L, L after L after L.
But it turns out they just like make hit after hit after hit.
They're and a also, really good studio.
Also Violet Evergarden. But I don't know. I'm very excited for that. I don't think I'm going to watch it live. I think I might save it for like my flight to Japan or something like that. It just sort of seems like a nice, relaxing, like some drama. This is the thing, like Sound Euphonium has drama in it. Yep. There is some conflict and it keeps me engaged. For sure. Any more sequels?
I think that's about it. Like, I'm not watching Demon Slayer anymore. I'm not watching My Hero. I'm not watching Misfit of Demon King Academy anymore. So I think in terms of like sequel, definitely not watching Data Live season 5. I guess like Black Butler coming back is like a huge deal, even though I've never watched it. So shout out to all the people who like that. Oh, Duke of Death is made third season. It should wrap up the entire series. Looking forward to that. Hopefully you can finally touch Alice and they can make babies and stuff like that. I think that's it. You got any final words for the people out there?
No, I don't. I'm excited for the season, and we'll see you guys come our mid-season review.
Yes, absolutely. Let us know what you are planning on watching, or if anything that me and Miles said was just blasphemous. Let us know what we said wrong.
That it way, could have been. We're not knowledgeable about a lot of these things.
This one I did not know as much as I did, so I just tried to put some pieces together. Let us know in the YouTube comments, or like the Spotify comments, or Discord, anything like that. So I just want to say thank you for everybody out there who is watching. If you want to support us, the best way to do so, like, comment, subscribe, leave a review on whatever platform you are watching or listening to us on. Next week for Watch Club, we will be doing Yuri Is My Job. Miles cannot wait. Otherwise, in 2 weeks, I believe I'm doing the winter review. It's going to get a little complicated because I have to jam some shit in before I go to Japan. And this is just like the timing that works. So we'll see. I'm almost certain we're doing a winter review for the following like non-Watch Club. But otherwise, thank you so much. And we will see you next time. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.